Hello and welcome to Ed and Friends. My name is Ed, I am an improviser from London, and I have not one but two guests with me in the studio this week. The first is my cohort from Giggle Loop, the lovely Natasha Parrott.
Hello!
Natasha.
Hi Ed.
Hi, thank you for coming on
thank
board.
Thank you for asking me yet again.
Pleasure, that's true. This is like a third
I
time.
I enjoy.
Yeah, I've noticed. It's fun when you come on board.
It's nice.
And what's lovely as well is you get to pick up whenever I fail. So you're a good wingman.
I'm here to catch you when you fall.
And the second guest in the studio, you might recognise her voice from Sketch Please, our sister programme where she came on board and was one of our performers. She is Georgie Morrill.
Hi, Ed.
Hi, Georgie. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you for having me again.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Now, something that you two have in common, even though you guys have only met today, I believe, one of the things you have in common is you are both comedians who happen to be partially sighted. And I thought it would be interesting just to get you into the studio and just create a bit of a discourse about it, because it's honestly not something I think that's talked about enough.
Absolutely. We have to be friends now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We're
best
sisters
friends
now.
That's it.
Between us, we can see.
Even if we... We make up one good issue.
Georgie, your one-woman show, which you're about to take up to Edinburgh right now, is based on this subject matter.
Absolutely. It's called A Poke in the Eye.
Nice.
I've been partially sighted for years and years, since I was about three. And this show focuses on a year when I was 21 where I went completely blind and got my sight back, but it might go again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's the... do you want to ask what the situation is?
Not at all. End of podcast. End of show.
Well, that was Ed and Friends. Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah, good night. I was diagnosed with glaucoma uveitis when I was three, and my eyes just took a battering since. It's a build-up of pressure in both eyes. The left eye couldn't cope, and it damaged the optic nerve, which you can't repair an optic nerve. You know, who knew? They don't grow back.
No.
Mm. And the right one is okay with a lot of maintenance. It's doing surprisingly well. But for a year, it decided no.
Oh, wow.
Seeing is for losers.
Give me a break, guys. Yeah. This is the age of the podcast. I'm just checking out. See you, left eye.
And it ducked out for about a year.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
So you were completely blind for a whole year?
Yeah. And then lots of surgeries in that year, and then the surgeries needed, they kicked off something else, then it was a bunch more, and yeah, it did go on for a while. It really did labour the point.
Holy shit. So now you're going to take a show all about it up to Edinburgh and... Just...
Absolutely, yeah. Stand-up show, and it... although it sounds like it can't be a comedy. Oh, it can. I will find a way. Because, I don't know, there's been quite cool about tragic things, finding the funny in them. I like that. You've got the observational sort of comedy of, you know, everyday sort of things, but it's nice to go out a step further.
Yeah.
Totally. Clearly, there is something to be found of humour, even in the darkest periods of our lives.
There does seem to be a market for it. And, yeah, people do like accessing those sort of dark bits of ourselves, and being able to laugh at it is great. I mean, good friends of mine, friends I'm very close to, we do, make fun of it. There is Georgie, one eye or no eyes or whatever way they want to do it. And but they're friends who, see me through a lot, and I've given them permission, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And they really enjoy it.
My husband loves it.
Well, your husband loves the fact that you're partially sighted?
Yeah. No, he likes, literally 2 days after I came out of hospital with it, he was like, finds it really funny that he can poke me in the face without me seeing it.
Yeah.
And I jump, he loves that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
love, isn't it?
That's love. Well,
it's something, come
on.
Okay, well, considering the fact that something that Natasha and I have spoken about in the past with Ellie of Giggle Loop, we have often talked about doing like a special night of comedy for people that are partially sighted. So it's clearly something that you're willing to talk about as well.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that we're discussing issues surrounding partially sightedness enough? Or is it just making light of the situation?
I'd say they're sort of making a few jokes about it, but making sure you do address it and people come away with something, as opposed to, let's just laugh at a disabled girl.
Yeah.
Because that's fun.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because... I don't know, you might maybe find similar situations when nobody really knows that I'm partially sighted, because you don't look disabled,
yeah.
air quotations. Like, you know, so...
People seem to sort of have a bit of almost issue with that as well, because they can't see it. It's like, oh, you're fine then. It's
exactly.
Like, I'll decide that.
Yeah, like, they forget that you maybe struggle with some things, and they go, oh, yeah, well, I forgot, or that's fine, but... Yeah, it's a difficult... I think it's a difficult... Unless you're with a dog and a stick, you know, I think some people don't know how to deal with it when you tell them.
Sure.
I don't generally talk... I don't talk about it a lot, I have to say. And I don't know if that's just my personal thing, or I don't think I've personally got over it, because it's been a recent thing for me.
Sure.
It's not something I'd actually bring up.
No.
Certainly with people I didn't know very well.
Yeah.
We were talking about earlier at a wedding last week. Someone asked me, like, what's your show saying up to Edinburgh? It's like, oh, I almost don't want to tell you because I don't know you.
Yeah.
And it's that look on their face of, oh my God, you went blind. And it's like, yeah, but it's funny.
Yeah. It's funny now.
It's really funny. It's fine.
I don't really, apart from, I was thinking of this on the way here actually. Apart from you and Ellie and like really close family and really close friends, people don't really know. And like I like, unless they listen to this now, like I would say the majority of the other improv group they're in, I don't think anybody knows.
I think like it's a difficult thing to come up in conversation generally, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't necessarily start a story with, because I'm partially sighted, or there was this one time I got my husband poked me in the face because I'm blind in the eye.
Yeah, you don't immediately shake hands and go, by the way.
Yeah, by the way, I may not have seen you there.
Yeah. Sorry if I ram you with my elbow, but I can't see you.
Okay, and I hope this doesn't sort of sound ignorant, but I mean, what is it like essentially? No, because both of you have experienced loss of sight in sort of like relatively recent periods. In terms of the way that it impacts your life, what happens when you start losing your sight?
It does fascinate people, that, isn't it? Because I think it's a lot of people's worst fear is to lose their sight. It isn't the absolute end of the world, as well, say, to start with.
Yeah.
It's amazing how your body will adapt. But mine, over a couple of days, just started going and going and going, and then was gone. And it was just panic, really. And you knew it was out of your control.
I think that's the worst. I was similar. I had headaches for a week. I had, like, 20/20 vision. I had headaches. I never had a headache ever. Mm. Never been in the hospital ever. And then I started getting neck pain. And then I literally blinked and my left eye just went black.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, crap. Oh, my God. And then the hospital thought it was migraines. And I was like, no, it's not migraines. There's no way it's migraines. And I think, yeah, it is that you don't have any control over it. You don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going on.
Mm.
Doctors don't still really know what happened with me, personally.
No, they didn't know quite why mine went. They knew it was related to the condition, but it took ages for them to work it out as well. That was the hardest bit, is those periods of just total grey and unknown.
Yeah.
I hate grey areas anyway, in life, so that was the worst.
Yeah, just feeling really scared and not being able to see, not being able to told what it is, and still not knowing, I've had... like a lot of like treatment at Moorfields Eye Hospital, and they don't have a clue.
Moorfields.
There on Monday. Great. Came back off holiday and I was at Moorfields.
The number of people I know that have gone to Moorfields for various treatments for their eyes—it sounds like amazing. They sound great over there.
Yeah,
what they can do there is phenomenal.
They're really nice. They're really caring, and because it's a specialist hospital as well. Yeah. I think. It's just so much to a normal hospital. Like.
I'd say that bugged me the most was little things and not being able to do. So I remember I couldn't have a bath. I didn't know where everything was and if I got in a muddle or something. So my mum had to give me a bath at 21.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a new low.
Yeah.
And little things that annoy me the most. Mm. Not being able to make myself something to eat. Because I hadn't had time to adapt. It takes a long time to be able to do that, and you do need aids. And I hated that.
Yeah.
Being so dependent all of a sudden.
Yeah, I lived at my mum's. I moved back to my mum's because my husband was working so much he couldn't really care for me.
Mm.
I had to move back to my mum's for 2 months, and it was horrible.
Oh,
mainly because I felt like a child again. Mm. I was 20, 22, and it is that
not having independence, not being able to, I want to go out now, and not being able to leave, or not being able to watch telly. I couldn't watch telly for like 2 months. I couldn't see the telly for like 2 months. So I had to listen to music, or my sister would sit and describe movies to me.
Oh my God, my family did that. Yeah, yeah. So funny.
Yeah, I couldn't read books. All I wanted to do was read a book in the hospital, and I had to sit there with like earphones in, and it was horrible because you don't know who's coming in because you've got earphones in, and then it's really disorientating. It's not, it's weird. It's really weird.
I
just
moved back home, and I was living the dream. I just finished uni, I was 21, living in London, and I was like, all right, back home. Ross, step back.
Yeah.
Tearing it up not long ago.
Well, from the way that you describe it, it sounds like there's an initial shock and then a slight sort of sense of... Well, it sounds like you both are describing a slightly demoralising experience, but also the fact that you guys had support there, support professionally, support personally, and support through your family, and people were willing to help you. And like, how important is family for someone that's recently struggling in this way?
Oh, they were everything. My parents and my brothers as well, and some exceptionally good friends I'm still very, very close to today. Mm-hmm. I'd say it was probably tougher on my parents than me, because all of a sudden I was back home and a massive burden, but it was there to watch me go through it. And I just can't think of anything worse for a parent.
Yeah.
And see a child go through that and not be able to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed incredibly... I mean, I couldn't see their faces. My mum said that to me at a later point. They were so optimistic all the time and cheery. And mum said, you couldn't see our faces. We looked absolutely terrified the whole time. It was a total act. Mm-hmm. But it was one I believed. And if they hadn't been, I wonder if I would have, carried on.
Yeah. Similar, again. Being left overnight in hospital, and then we wake up in the morning, all you want to do is hear your mum's voice come in and like my husband's voice come in, and then you feel relaxed. And Ross said the same thing. He was like, because he stayed with my mum for like 2 weeks, he said she was just a mess at home every night, ringing the hospital, and he had to hold it together. And I don't think I would have done it without him, and my mum wouldn't have done it without him either, I think. You have to have a strong
A
support system.
A network. My parents, we've been dealing with it one way or another since I was three. But we never actually thought I would lose the sight completely. We were quite almost naive about that. And they were almost annoyed because they take such good care of me. They'd done everything right, everything the doctor said, and it still managed to go wrong. I think they were very, very angry.
Mm-hmm.
But who can you get annoyed at, really?
Especially when you don't know. You don't know if it's going to happen. Mm. You don't know it's going to happen full stop. You don't know if it's going to happen again. Mm. They can't tell you if it's going to happen again.
No.
And that's the other scary bit as well. Like, especially my mum wanted to know, have answers and have it in concrete, in writing.
Oh, yeah.
Is this going to happen again? Yeah. Like, we don't know. But that's not good enough.
Yeah.
And it's like,
my mum's been horrible to doctors and nurses over the years when she's got the answer. God bless them. Faced with Susan.
But things like planning for the future, considering what might come and the way things might change, do you have to plan for that, or is it just more about living in the moment now and just kind of enjoying what you've got? It strikes me that knowing both of you, it strikes me that it's clearly affected you both personally, but I don't see it stopping you living your lives and enjoying yourselves.
Oh, absolutely not. I really like my life at the moment, and I think if I'm fully prepared that I could lose my sight again, so I think, well, I've got it now, so let's do the most I can while I've got it.
Yeah.
I think seeing a lot of my friends are getting married now, my brothers are, and starting families and stuff. In the last couple of years, that's made me think, is that a realistic way to go for me? And that's something I've been questioning a bit, and I turn 30 soon.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably have a breakdown over that.
Well, speaking as a guy that turned 30 just a few months ago, it's actually a strangely enlightening experience. Like, I felt the weight fall from my shoulders. I've been like, I'm 30 now.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about treating me like a child anymore, apart from my parents.
I think for me at the time, it was a, right, okay, At one point they said to me that I might have to go on medication that might stop me from having children, like autoimmune responsive medication.
Yeah, that's what I'm on, so they've said, yeah, and I can't have children while I'm on it.
Yeah.
I say that so casually. Yeah. I appreciate anyone listening to be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
you get over it.
Yeah, at 22...
have that and be healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, at 22, I thought... Right, well, and I was with Ross then, and we weren't married, but we'd been together for a couple of years, and I thought, right, well, I'm going to have children now if I want to have children. But then, since then, because it's gotten better, I think I've just moved on. I wouldn't have come to London if my eyesight hadn't have gone, because it pushed me. It pushed me to go, fuck it, literally within 6 months of coming out of the hospital, I went, right, we're moving, and Ross was like, what? And I was like, we're moving, I'm not staying in Edinburgh anymore, like, well, we've always talked about moving to London, let's just do it, and we did, and I don't think we would have done it if I hadn't. I think we might have talked about it a bit more, but it really pushed me to go, well, Jesus, you know, I could... You know, I wasn't maybe going to see the pyramids or, you know, the Great Wall of China. Now I want to see Big Ben and I want to walk past it every day. And, you know, so I think, yeah, you just you deal with it now. I deal with it. And it's just, and I've gotten used to it. But I think at the time you do sort of, you question a lot of stuff, I think.
Okay. Yeah. The fact that you're both comedians, and also I know that you're obviously Natasha, you're in an improv comedy group with me, and Georgia, you're part of the Diodes, which is great. I love the Diodes. When you're on stage with someone, and exactly your vision isn't 100%, how does that affect the way that you work on stage? Also, as an actress, how do you compensate for that?
I just make sure, sort of having one eye everywhere, basically. You have to, and with something like improv, it's tricky because you don't know what another act's going to do. If you're in a safe team, I do mention to a team, because when you got the thing of coming on from the sides, and I've done that before, I've basically just gone marching ahead of somebody who was on before, purely because I didn't see them.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned that to the team, and yeah, you've just got to basically see more.
Yeah. With
look
less.
Around more.
Yeah.
Ironically, yeah. With less sight, you have to see more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, my pet hate is people who walk along texting.
Oh, and no,
it's like, do you know how hard I'm having to work right now?
Oh, no. I think Ed's witnessed me shout at somebody in the street before.
Yeah.
Because it's when people zigzag on the street and they're just coming from all different directions, or they're walking without looking, and I'm like, no, watch where you're going,
A bloke smacked into me the other day because he was in such a damn rush. I was like, what is so important.
Yeah.
Because you're running for your life to knock into a young woman.
Yeah, and a little bit, you blame yourself a little bit as well, because you go, well, it's obviously must be my fault. Mm. And you think, no, hang on, he's just a douchebag.
Yeah, he's just his
fault. Yeah.
Sadly, with London in particular, is just full of people trying to get places and not caring about how they get there in terms of running people down.
Mm.
And that's and that's for a guy that's 6'2" and capable of like knocking people down my stand aside.
You're the worst.
Am I the worst?
You're the worst kind. No.
Yeah. You're in the worst category.
Hey, listen, man, I've got text messages I need to read. If I walk, okay?
I'm a busy man.
I'm a busy man, and I'm important because I'm a busy man.
I see people walking along, they're not texting, they're playing a game.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that.
Saddest thing.
Like, your Candy Crush score is so important to you.
Yeah.
That
you could get run over because of it.
Yeah, my life game walking down the street is like Frogger, like trying to like dodge. Like, that's my life game. Like,
do you feel it's important to create discourse about this stuff? I asked this earlier, but do you think it's spoken about enough, considering the fact that people do walk over you on the street?
No, it's not talked about enough, really.
No.
But it shouldn't be talked about in a sort of badgering sense, or it should be sort of live by example sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pay more respect to, you know, someone with a disability.
Mm.
Should be, this is my story. Maybe if you knew a bit more about it and how I live and manage, you'll think differently each day, just a little bit.
Yeah.
And that'd be really nice.
Yeah, I think it's just being a bit more aware of others, really. You don't know what's going on with anybody when you walk down the street. Like, you know, anybody could have anything, you know, any problems or disability, or, you know, you don't know what's going on. I think people are always that way. Well, if they're not in a wheelchair or on crutches, then it's not my problem because I don't know.
When I did the show last year as work in progress, I got a Facebook message from someone I didn't know, but she came to see the show, and she's partially sighted, and she said, I'm in that position where my sight might go again.
And I really enjoyed it. Thank you for doing that. It's nice to know I'm not alone. I thought, well, that makes it all bloody worth it, really. Yeah. If it's, you know, reached out to somebody who's a little bit confused and unsure and now doesn't feel quite so alone.
Yeah, and I think when I went to Moorfields for the first time, I asked if there was, like, a group that I could join of, like, women or guys my age who it had happened to within, you know, a matter of years, and they're like, no, not really, it's all just kids groups.
Yeah, no, it's, my parents wish that they had that as well, other parents to talk to when I was younger. There's just nothing like that. You get a bit more counselling and therapy now, but it tends to be quite general, and it's not through specialist places, which should really, really be pushed.
But... yeah, definitely, I think so. It would have been nice to know that, yeah, it had happened to other people, you know, at my age.
I do want to do, because I've linked up with a couple of charities over the years doing different things. I'd like to do some sort of fundraising night and get the likes of us on.
Yeah, yeah, we've always talked about it, and it hasn't happened yet. Yeah. We should collaborate. Yeah,
but it will.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, yes, as you say, the first step is sharing stories and getting like-minded people to speak about this sort of thing. So thank you so much for sharing with your stories with us here today. It's been totally fascinating, and I've enjoyed it greatly. Would you like to plug anything before we go?
Yes, absolutely.
There's a certain show in Edinburgh.
There's a little show. if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook, you're just going to be so sick of it. It's a poke in the eye at Just the Tonic, the Caves, throughout the whole festival, except the 12th, because I've got my brother's wedding that I'll come back for. Yeah.
Whatever.
Unbelievably inconvenient. you can follow me on Twitter at poke in the eye 69, because that's mature. and there's also a Kickstarter to raise the funds to get me to Edinburgh. So you can find all of that on Twitter.
Nice.
anyways, clearly you can tell that Natasha and an improv group. Well, considering that it is the sole subject matter of your Edinburgh show, how do you go about tackling the subject matter of partially sighted within your show? Is it just, are you just making light of it, or do you go into detail? What's the structure of your story?
Oh, it definitely goes into detail, and it's got a bit of the grit to it, the stuff that maybe people, you know, don't necessarily want to hear or think of. So it is a stand-up show, and yeah, it is funny, but there are moments that, so it contrasts quite nicely between the tragic and the funny. Otherwise, it would just be too sort of punny and silly, and I think that would be doing myself and people who partially signed it a disservice.
Are there lots of puns? Do you a lot of eye puns?
Yeah. There's one thing we do, so I will tell you. My mate came up with it, I can't take credit. The entrance music with the audience coming in is all songs about eyes. So you've got like Eye the Tiger, Ellie Goulding, Starry Eye, that one, and all the Hungry Eyes as well. and it was only a few. You saw the when I was backstage, I was listening, and some audience members picking up on it, and some straight over their heads. Wasted on you.
Yeah.
What's happening next with Giggly, Tash?
Tonight we have a show at Hoopla at 8 o'clock at the Miller. And then we have a show, Edinburgh preview show. We're not going to Edinburgh, but loads of other people are. On the 27th of July, we have a show at the Wheat Sheaf. So come along, that should be good.
Well, thank you both so much for coming. If you've enjoyed this podcast, we have loads more at podcastadventures.com/EdinFriends. We're also available on iTunes, SoundCloud and Acast. Please do remember to rate, review, subscribe, and just say hello. We're lovely, friendly people. We'll respond to you, I promise. Anyway, that's been lovely. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Ed. These have been my friends. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week. Thank you. Woo!